You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Holiday traditions can be a lot of fun. Many of us like munching on Christmas cookies and exchanging gifts with friends and family, but there sometimes comes a time when it feels like you might have outgrown a tradition. Or maybe like the Griswold family in this clip from the movie Holiday Vacation, you're looking for the authentic experience in all the wrong places.
Dad, didn't they invent Christmas tree lots so people wouldn't have to drive all the way out to nowhere and waste a whole Saturday?
They invented them, Russ, because people forgot how to have a fun, old-fashioned family Christmas and are satisfied with scrawny, dead, overpriced trees that have no special meaning.
My toes are numb.
You see, kids, this is what our forefathers did.
I can't feel my leg.
They walked out into the woods, they picked out that special tree, and they cut it down with their bare hands.
Feeling pressure to spend money, feeling stressed about finding the right gifts, rushing to get all the stuff done to have the perfect holiday, our next guest says we can simplify and leave those stressful feelings behind. Rachel Jones is the Joyful Space Specialist. She blogs and provides resources for people looking to reduce clutter from their lives. She wrote A Minimalist Guide to the Holidays, which you can find at nourishingminimalism.com. Rachel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, I know you've looked at minimalism and cutting back in a lot of parts of your life. What led you to start looking at the holidays as a way to maybe cut back some of that physical and, I guess, emotional and logistical clutter?
You know, it all kind of ties together because with minimalism, I was looking for a way to gain some control of my life. I felt very chaotic. And so the holidays were very similar in that I just had this expectation of myself, and I think most moms do. We have this super mom mentality where we need to live up to a certain standard, and we really require a lot of ourselves. So simplifying the holidays made sense in that.
And when it comes to a holiday tradition, I think, as I've discovered with my family in some cases, a lot of times there's that thing, you've always done it, everybody expects it, and when you start asking around, people aren't really that into it anymore. How do you start to have that conversation about, okay, what do we like to do? What do we do because we feel like we're supposed to do it?
Yeah, I recommend that families sit down together and just start it off and just kind of brain dump with what are the things that we do every year and what are our favorites, and highlight those favorites and figure out which one everyone really enjoys. And I think the best thing is to just pick, you know, say we can only do a certain amount of things. So how about we pick five and just focus on getting those five done and let the rest go this year.
Now that can involve a tough thing sometimes, saying no to someone. How can we tactfully and politely decline that sixth event that crosses the threshold?
It is very challenging. So I like to be honest and just practice honesty with everything. But you can also just say, let your no be no, and you don't have to explain. You don't have to feel guilty about it. I do recommend that when you decide on those particular traditions, that you write them on the calendar, you make time for them with your family, and you let all the kids know and everyone know that this is the time we're going to do it. And you hold to it like an appointment. So when someone invites you to something and you have a family event on that day, you are free to say, no, I'm sorry, I already have that time filled. And a lot of it is just learning to say no without having to explain.
One thing I see a lot more is people being more flexible about when the holiday celebration happens. When I was a kid, I remember one family, it was Christmas Eve. The other family, it was Christmas Day. And now, you know, people move around the country. Sometimes it's the weekend before or the weekend after, or it's New Year's. Are you seeing people get more flexible about when the family celebration, say, happens?
Yes, I've seen that as well, which is very nice. And then, you know, some families even have moved it out into January or the 1st of January, which makes things much easier to work around.
Talking to Rachel Jones about her minimalist guide to the holidays. You can find it at her website, nourishingminimalism.com. Rachel, let's talk about the cleaning and decorating. That's one of the things you write about is, okay, part of the stress here is, especially for hosting a thing, we want the house to look awesome, immaculate, beautifully decorated. How can we do something cool without adding to the stress?
That's very true. We hold ourselves to a very high standard, especially with in-laws coming over. So I recommend just focusing on the main parts of the living area and just keeping them settling, I guess, settling to keep them just a regular maintenance. So you keep your dishes done and your counters clean and just let the rest go. It's okay.
And then how about meal planning?
Meal planning, yes. Give yourself a break. It's okay to cut corners, and it's okay to buy pre-made things. You don't have to make everything from scratch. And the important thing is the relationships that you have and getting together with your family.
Right. It seems like the big you're worried about is, you know, we have good relationships, hopefully, with family and friends, but there can be tension there. And you want to not add to the tension because we're worried about, is the turkey going to be done? Are the handmade decorations adhering to the wall properly? That kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And so since you've come out with this minimalist guide, are you hearing this from a lot of people like, I've been overstressed at the holidays, too?
Yes, we, particularly moms, have a standard, and we expect so much of ourselves. So, you know, the outside decorations, the inside decorations, and the cleanliness, and the perfect food. And it's okay to just accept who you are and what you're capable of and learn to be comfortable with that.
And how about people might feel a little element of guilt if you stop doing tradition X, if you stop making food Y, that's been the thing. How do we overcome maybe that initial guilt about that change?
You know, it's interesting. When I stopped doing Christmas cards, I felt that guilt. But I realized that no one noticed. It was So keep that in mind. It's what we expect of ourselves and not everybody else.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with that one. Now, it's Cyber Monday, so we probably shouldn't get through this all without talking about a big thing at holiday season, the gifts. How do you take a minimalist approach to gift giving?
I recommend just talking about it. And depending on the people in your family, this might just be the beginning of a conversation. It might take several years to get a more simplified gift-giving tradition. But start the conversation and talk about the things that you have in your home, particularly with kids. If people are wanting to give your kids a lot of gifts, that's usually what I hear about is, you know, how do I stop this influx of toys? And so you start the conversation, and I would say the best way to start is to say, I have some fear and telling you this, but this is what's going on in our family life. We don't have room for these toys. The kids have too many that they're kind of overwhelmed. So we'd like to focus on activities or experiences, and they can be wonderful, you know, tickets to baseball games and different sporting events or theaters or lessons. There's so many varieties of more consumable type gifts and not things that will clutter up your home.
Have you run into pushback on that when you've talked to people? Because some people want to have a thing that they've wrapped and they hand to the kid.
Yes. Grandparents usually struggle with that, which is why I say this might be the beginning of a conversation. It might take years. And there's sometimes where there's people that just will not. They're going to give a gift no matter what you say. And you know, you don't want this to ruin relationships. So, you know, be gracious, let the kids open it, let them play with it, and don't feel guilty about donating it in a month.
We're talking to Rachel Jones. She blogs about minimalism and reducing clutter at nourishingminimalism.com. She's helping us simplify our holidays in part to make them less stressful. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you changed your holiday traditions, maybe with family or friends, to make something that feels more meaningful and maybe less stressful? Have you done something to take some of the stress out of your holiday events? How about gift giving? What do you think about when giving gifts, receiving gifts? Have you canceled a gift exchange of some kind to make it simpler and make sure people don't end up with stuff they don't want? Call 800-642-1234. Or if there's a holiday tradition, they're like, yeah, we're going to stick with this. We love this thing. I'd love to hear about that too. Call 800-642-1234. You can also post, by the way, on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Rachel Jones. She's a minimalist and a blogger at nourishingminimalism.com. She wrote a minimalist guide to the holidays. You can find that at her website. She's joining us to talk about making the holiday season a bit less stressful for you, maybe by rethinking, reinventing some of the traditions from year to year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do your holiday traditions stress you out? Have you tried to give fewer gifts or maybe different kinds of gifts in the past year? Have you changed a tradition to make it work better for you, your family, your friends? Or is there one you love and you stick with? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. To your calls now, Dave is with us in Toma. Dave, hi there.
Yeah, hi. You know, I think it's a shame that people are getting rid of the traditions nowadays. I love Christmas. I have a great time. I love buying stuff for people. I don't care if I get anything back or not, but I always do. Almost always. But I was thinking about Halloween as an example. My son, his in-laws, they don't celebrate any holidays anymore, or they didn't. And he's kind of reintroduced holidays to them. And some of them and their family never experienced before, and they love the cooking and the carving pumpkins and things. And I think a lot of people are just losing out on this stuff. Everybody's too worried about keeping up with the Joneses. And the holidays are one of the few things that people can actually share together every year.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. And Rachel, you're not anti-tradition necessarily, but it sounds like Dave and his son have found particular parts of the traditions, the things that are like, and are sharing them with people and kind of making them new traditions.
I think that's wonderful. Traditions are very important. We have several kind of elaborate traditions in our family, and those are just ones that we've picked and we've let go of the traditions that stress me out, the cookie exchange and the decorating quite as much and outside decorating, things like that. So definitely they're very important.
And Rachel, have you found that decluttering the tradition load there, stopping those things you were just talking about, makes the stuff that you do still do or that you've started to do more fun and meaningful?
I think it does. It makes it easier to accomplish it. So, for example, we just went yesterday and we drove up into the mountains and cut down a Christmas tree. And having a minimalist home means it's very easy to keep order, keep clean. And so just taking off for a day and getting a tree and coming home, there's very little stress involved in that.
Dave, thanks again for the call. Sandy is with us now in Mineral Point. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. So several years ago, instead of exchanging gifts, my sisters and I decided that we would just love each other for another year.
All right. And do you, like, have you done something? Like, do you get together for an activity or write a letter? How do you,
no,
do you mark that in a certain way?
We just, many years ago, just said, you know, we have enough stuff. If we need anything, we can buy it. Rather, you know, we'll just love each other for another year.
Sounds fantastic, Sandy. Thanks so much for the call. And Rachel, we talked about giving gifts to kids in particular. Sandy's probably on board with a lot of grown-ups of like, hey, maybe we can stop that gift exchange now.
Yeah, I think Sandy has a point. The idea of giving a gift is that personal connection and being able to show love to each other. And so, yes, as adults, it's much easier And as kids, we have to be, or for our kids, we have to be a little more creative in how can we show them that we love them without adding clutter.
Thanks for that call, Sandy. We're talking to Rachel Jones. She's the Joyful Space Specialist. We're talking about her Minimalist Guide to the Holidays. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you changed a tradition by default or on purpose? Do you find a lot of the holiday stuff stressful? What are your favorite parts of holiday traditions this time of year? What do you want to focus on? And what have you done when it comes to exchanging gifts? 800-642-1234 is the number. Dan is with us now in De Pere. Dan, hello.
Yeah, hi. I love Christmas, and I don't mind buying stuff for Christmas, but I find that if you purchase stuff that for stuff that people like to do, for instance, movie tickets, theater tickets, football tickets, spa tickets, whatever their passion is, you know, give them something to do, help them save some money, and they almost never return that.
Gotcha. And so, Dan, you know whatever so-and-so cousin X loves movies, you get not like a specific date and time. You just get a gift certificate for movie tickets, say?
Yeah, you could go out and buy like a $50 package. They can use it whenever they want. Or maybe they want to see The Lion King. You got to do a little bit of homework. You know, you got to figure out what their passion is. If it's sports, buy them sports tickets. If it's theater, buy them theater tickets. And they almost always appreciate that.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. And Rachel, I like that Dan does some homework because you don't want to commit to somebody to going to an event that maybe they're a little peshy about.
Absolutely. I think that's the most important thing when you're looking for clutter-free gift ideas, because they are mostly experiences, and you do need to know who you're buying the gift for and what they're interested in.
Do you have ideas, Rachel, similar to his maybe, or other ones that you've come up with for more experienced type of gifts?
Yes, because I deal with a lot of moms and children's in my niche, it's the like zoo memberships, science museums, kids museums, and more things, especially if it's grandparents, if they will do the activity with the child, like take the child to the ballpark for a baseball game, that's even better than just the tickets. We all want to share those experiences with people we love.
Thanks again for that call. Rachel, you were touching on this earlier. Are you hearing from, I imagine you hear back from a lot of parents, are you hearing from a lot of people that, yeah, this time of year really is stressful and they don't know where to start?
Definitely. I think because there's so much, you know, there's the cards and the shopping and the gifts, and it's very, very challenging to pick out what it is. We'll simplify it if we just leave that.
Let's go to another call. Oh, there's Dave in Hebron. Dave, hi.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to say what we do for Christmas. We have a large family, so every year, one of the children, start with the youngest, work with the oldest, one of them has a Christmas event, and we all get together for a nice meal, and then the highlight of the whole thing is the white elephant gift. And they're really fun, and the family seems to appreciate them. And for gifts, what we do, and of course it isn't handled at this party, of course, is we make gifts for the children. And even though the gifts don't cost us hardly a cent, we work for the whole year making them, because we have to make 50 of them, whatever we're going to decide to make. And I tell you, these children appreciate them, and they keep them. You go buy them a $25 gift, and in a week it's gone.
And Dave, I got to ask, do you have fun making these gifts?
Do we have fun making them?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun. We start, in fact, we will be starting for next Christmas, right after this Christmas is over.
All right, you in the North Pole too, Dave. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. I love that. So you can take, Rachel, maybe a craft or hobby that you love anyway and make it part of the holiday tradition.
Yes, I think that's wonderful. It comes down to what's really important to your family and what does your family really enjoy.
Thanks for that call, Dave. And Rachel, what's one of the easiest but maybe biggest changes you've made around the holiday season that could be a good first step for people listening right now?
You know, I would have to say the first one I did was to not send out Christmas cards anymore because I had you know, about 400 people that I would send Christmas cards to. So that reduced so much stress without having to address all of them and write a Christmas letter and get them mailed and everything.
And you mentioned earlier you didn't hear a big outcry from the public when you stopped doing that.
No, not one person.
And is there something, even after all of the thought you've put into this and the change you've made, is there something that still stresses even you out come holiday season?
It does. One of our traditions is to make gingerbread houses, and that's something that our kids really love. And so one year I bought a boxed set where this, you know, everything's pre-made. And they're like, oh, Mom, this is just not the same. And so the day that I have to make gingerbread houses is a bit stressful for me, but I've decided that it's important enough for our family that I'm willing to do that.
We'll leave it there for now. Rachel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Rachel Jones is the Joyful Space Specialist. She blogs and provides resources for people looking to reduce clutter from their lives. She wrote this guide. It's called A Minimalist Guide to the Holidays. You can find that at her website. It's called nourishingminimalism.com. Now, we still have time to hear your stories. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. A couple of questions for you. Have you changed one of your holiday traditions in part because you found out nobody liked it in the first place or because it was stressful? Have you invented something new for friends and family that you've come to enjoy? And do you still send out holiday cards? Do you have fun? Do you enjoy doing that? Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Quick gingerbread house story. A neighbor invited us along. This is years back. Kids were younger. To one of these maker spaces to make gingerbread houses with the CAD/CAM laser cutter. So they'd made a program, and they had these big sheets of baked gingerbread, and then they put the gingerbread under the cutter, and then they fired up the laser, and it boom, 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 cut out. It was cool. The smell of charred gingerbread along the laser line was a little bit much, though.